Now, Jimmy Stone is like a virtuoso banjo player who has put out quite a number of albums, and he's releasing one right now. It is called Room of Wonders, and he'll be performing at Centennial Theater. Yes, we are lucky. Were you thinking that? Were you thinking, oh, we are so lucky that Jamie Stone is coming to Sherbrooke? Well, yeah. He'll be performing, I was thinking that too. He'll be performing mid-October, and we have a chance to speak with him this evening before he leaves for quite a busy tour. Before we get to some tracks from his new album, which is really a wonder, let's listen to something from his previous album, which was a collaboration with the Malian musician Mansa Sissoko, once again a kora player, and Mansa now lives here in Canada, spends a great deal of time here in Canada. The album won a Juno. It's called Africa to Appalachia, and this track is called Yelemane. And we'll be talking to Jamie Stone in a minute or two. Again, that was from his not most recent, but before that album, Africa to Appalachia. It was Jamie Stone with Mansa Sissoko. And I have Jamie on the line. Can you hear me, Jamie?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. You're getting ready for a big tour with this album.
I am, yeah. We're about to step into 17 cities in 21 days.
Oh, wow. That'll be busy. I just don't quite know where to start because there is such a richness to all the music that you play, but perhaps we could start with that. Where did this taste for all sorts of different sorts of music develop?
You know, I've always had my ear to the ground, and it seems like world music has always been something that's really fascinated me. Traditional music from different parts of the world. And when I first started playing the banjo, I was listening to music from India and from...
No, we've lost him. He's on a cell phone somewhere on the other side of some very, very, very tall mountains, and the reception isn't very good. What a shame. We will get him back. And in the meantime, we're going to listen to something from this wonderful new album. As he says, he's always had his ear to the ground, and that's a good way of putting it, because his music is very rooted, grounded. And at the same time, it just soars so high. So last, what you just heard before was music very, you know, definitely rooted in West Africa. This is something else altogether. And here we go. And I'll, just as a clue and a hint, I'll give you the title of the piece. It's called Krasavaska Rushanista. Ha! Opa! Jamie Stone back on the line for a little while, but I did not want to interrupt that gorgeous solo. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. It was nice to hear the banjo solo again.
You want to tell us a bit about that piece, Krasavaska Rutchenista? I don't know if... No, Rutchenitsa. I don't know how I'm pronouncing
it. Oh, you've got it. I realized when I finished making the record and we were doing the liner notes that I made an album of songs that people can't pronounce at all. but you did great.
Well, this is a world... well, thank you. This is a world music show, and I just, you know, put my foot in my mouth 100 times a show, but I do try.
Okay. Yeah, that song is from Bulgaria, and in Bulgaria, one of their, you know, maybe their so-called national folk dance is called the Rutchenitsa, and it's in seven, and it's a really fascinating rhythmic structure. And I just sort of started listening to Balkan music and poured over field recordings, and that was one of the tunes that just jumped out at me, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my god, what an amazing piece of music. And so we kind of brought it in and transformed it, and it ended up being probably my favorite tune on the record.
There's so much to be said about Bulgarian music, isn't there? It's so fascinating rhythmically.
It is, and I'm just a beginner, but in working on music and researching music for this record, I started listening to a lot more music from Bulgaria. Not only is the tradition really rich, but there's actually a very, very lively community in North America of people studying, you know, their traditional music and dance. It's quite happening.
So they're keeping it alive. More than that, eh?
Keeping it alive and evolving it, and you know, they have these camps on the East and West Coast every summer where they bring in all these teachers from the Balkans, elder teachers, and they have these huge sold-out music camps where people come and learn and stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning with impromptu concerts, and it sounds like quite a scene.
Sounds wonderful. You're just making me think, there's a Bulgarian musician in Montreal, Lubo Alexandrov, who does some wonderful stuff too.
Oh, yeah, I've heard his music.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
He had a record called Contraband, right? Something like that?
He might have. I'm trying to think. The most recent one I know of is Evening Dance. I think it won a Juno as well. But
Okay, right.
Yeah, and was learning to play in 7 difficult?
Uh-huh.
It was?
Well, I, for some strange reason, or maybe the same strange reason that compels me to do all kinds of things, I started learning to play music in odd time signatures from the very beginning.
Oh.
It was just something that I was hearing and trying. And the banjo is a little bit of a kind of quirky mathematical sort of instrument. You know, we play a lot of continuous streams of notes. And so on the banjo, even in bluegrass music, you know, there's a real art to creating rhythmic patterns that are constantly changing and you know, keeping the time like a drummer might, but actually varying things in a really interesting way. And so going and delving into odd time signatures was just kind of a natural thing to try. So this was one of many tunes that I'd played in 7 before.
This might be an obvious question, but did you start with bluegrass?
You know, yes and no. I started with bluegrass, but I started with everything. And, you know, this could have come from being Canadian and being a little bit further away from maybe the more traditional way of approaching the banjo or thinking about the banjo. I hadn't really heard it until I was maybe 16 and started playing. And I had this magic window where I fell in love with the banjo and decided that that's what I wanted to play and didn't get one for about 2 weeks. And it was my last year of high school, and I ditched my classes and I spent all week or two in the library. And some rather amazing librarian had stocked the library with tons of recordings. Traditional stuff, you know, Mike Seeger, Pete Seeger, Earl Scruggs, Ralph Stanley, all the great classic stuff, and then progressive banjo players like Tony Trischka and Bela Fleck. And so I started listening and reading and watching videos and all this stuff before I got a banjo. And so by the time I had it, I kind of was aware that you could do a lot of different things on it, and I didn't really have a sense that one of them came before the next. So I just sort of learned bluegrass and old-time music and was writing music and trying to play jazz and transcribing Indian music from recordings. And I remember learning an Egyptian oud piece, like maybe within the first couple of months of playing.
On the banjo.
So, on banjo.
Well, it sounds like you had sort of an aha moment for the banjo. Or what happened? Because you fell in love with it before you had one. Did you hear someone? Did you see something? What happened? Did you have a dream?
I did. Well, I was hearing bluegrass music, and it was beginning to really draw me. And then I went to see Bela Fleck play at the Orpheum Theater in Vancouver. I was 16, and it just floored me. I sat in the first row and I was just in awe, and it was kind of two aha moments that collided, because there was the aha of, oh wow, the banjo is really what I want to play, and I was already I was already feeling like I wanted to play music and wanted to play music more deeply. I was playing guitar at the time, and so these two things kind of collided, my falling in love with the banjo and my realizing what it took and feeling really compelled to actually study music more deeply. And so I kind of thought, wow, I could actually do everything I ever wanted to do musically on the banjo. And it was also really appealing and still appealing because there was so much that hasn't been done, you know? I don't really know of people playing Bulgarian music on the banjo. And so it seems like everywhere I turn, there's music that hasn't been tried yet. And that's rather exciting to me.
Being on the cutting edge of a banjo renaissance.
Yeah.
Have you ever taught the banjo?
Did you say taught?
Yes, I have. Given lessons. Yeah. Is it hard to learn?
Let's see. No, I don't think it's necessarily harder to learn than anything. There's a kind of quirky physics to the banjo in that the highest and lowest strings are right next to each other.
Hmm.
And so maybe if you are a real linear thinker, it might take you a little bit of time to get over that.
Hmm.
The tuning is, because it comes from West Africa originally, and there a lot of the strings are used as what we call drones, meaning they're not necessarily being fretted and played as melodies, but they're just kind of creating a drone or some notes to bounce the melody off of. And so because the tuning is designed for that, it's not nearly as symmetrical as, say, playing the fiddle, where, you know, it's tuned in fourths all the way through and or fifths all the way through, and it kind of makes more sense. So the banjo doesn't always make that much sense, which is what I like about it.
That's a great quote, actually. We're going to listen to one more piece from this new album of yours, Vinicius. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, that's a tune that I composed actually several years ago, and it was this one tune that I've been saving for the right project. And it was inspired by the music of a fellow named Vinicius Cantuária, who's from Brazil. If you've ever heard Caetano Veloso, he played in Caetano's band, and he's a percussionist and guitarist and songwriter and singer. And I call him like the Miles Davis of bossa nova. He's got this both experimental side and this really cool, spacious side. And he just writes amazing tunes, and I guess he's kind of an unlikely influence for a banjo player, but I've always loved his music and wanted to write something that has a bit of that ambience, and so this was it, and it was a real treat because I got to play with some of my favorite jazz musicians in Toronto, and there's a horn section and a really great jazz drummer, and so it was fun to record with like a big 8-piece band.
Well, thank you for that introduction, and it was great to talk to you. I wish you a wonderful tour, and we're looking forward to hearing you, seeing you here in Sherbrooke.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, take care.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. That was Jamie Stone, and here is the piece that he was talking about, Vinicius, from his latest album, Room of Wonders. And it is a wonder.